Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Immediately, I said, "Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor?" And I said, "Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor's son? I need to talk to the pastor's son." So I called the pastor's son, and then I prophesied over him. And I didn't know until after the service was that I did that immediately after praying for his son. So that was just a divine movement of the Holy Ghost. And I love it when the Holy Ghost just weaves things together like that. And reminds me that nothing that I do in the ministry, and maybe very little that I do in life, but little that I do during ministry is from the flesh. It's not. It's divine. It's from the Holy Ghost. I'll give you another example of what happened in the service yesterday. Yesterday, I shared a testimony of what happened when I was with the church in Nanjing, China, during the outbreak of the COVID virus beginning. And I shared how there was a man there that came up, and I ministered to him. And the funny thing was, as I was preaching, he doesn't know me, doesn't know my ministry, doesn't know my background, but as I was preaching, he saw Smith Wigglesworth on the right of me, he saw Lester Sumrall on the left of me, and then I was in the center ministering. He didn't know that actually I was ordained as an apostle by Frank Sumrall. He didn't know that I was with Rod Parsley, who was the one that Lester Sumrall gave his mantle to, and he made that very clear, Lester Sumrall, before he died. Matter of fact, I talked to a sister yesterday who grew up in Lester Sumrall's church in South Bend, Indiana. And she said that before he died, he made it very clear he was passing his ministry and his anointing onto Rod Parsley. She said it was very clear. Everybody knew it. So So this young man saw in the spirit the two prophets were with me. Smith Wigglesworth and Lester Sumrall were standing with me in the cloud of witnesses. They were standing with me, ministering as I was preaching. And he began to shake under the power of God. And because we laid hands on about 800 to 1,000 people that day, I didn't lay hands on everybody by myself. I actually called up people to help me lay hands and pray for them. And so, everybody that came up to the front, which was, 800 plus or 1,000 people, some went to this person on the right, and some went to the person on the left, some people came to me in the middle. So this boy was shaking under the power of God, and when it came time for his kind of row to come up and have hands laid on them, as I was anointing them and protecting them from the coronavirus, he didn't want to come to me because he was the fear of God and the anointing that was upon me. He didn't want to walk up to me. He wanted to go to the other pastor. But I looked over to the side, and I pointed to him, and I said, "Come here." So he was like, "Oh, no, no." So he started shaking more and more. And then I don't know the guy, but I said, I prophesied over him that he's a minister of the gospel. He's called to preach the gospel, so forth. So I began to prophesy over him. And then the Lord said, "Take your jacket and mantle him with your jacket, endue him, clothe him with your mantle." So I took off my suit jacket and I put it over him. Boom! When I threw it over him, bam! He collapsed under the power of God. And he stayed there under the power of God for about maybe 2 hours or 3 hours. And then, long story short, when he finally got up, he Zoom called his home church. They were having some kind of, this is before coronavirus, but he Zoomed or Skyped his own church, and they asked him to share online. So they were doing the Zoom call thing before coronavirus. They asked him to share online, a word. And so he said the fire was on him still. And so now this is about maybe midnight, and he might have left that church that night, maybe 11 or something. So now at midnight, and he said the fire was on him, and it transferred into the computer screen, over the computer screen, and they began to fall out all over the room. And I think he might have been ministering in, I don't know if it was Ghana or Liberia or whatever, it was in Africa. And the power of God was transferred through the phone, through the computer, through the phone, whatever, into Africa. And they were falling under the power of God. And then he was preaching, and the fire was falling. People were being healed, people seeing vision, people are falling down in the power of God. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is after I mantled him with my jacket. And then what happened was the connection dropped, and he had fallen, and then he just went to sleep. And when he woke up in the morning, came to prayer, came to the morning session. I think I preached all the sessions, morning and afternoon, or morning and evening. So I preached all the sessions. And so he came, sat to the morning session, and then in the night session, I took testimonies. And he got up, and this is when he shared the testimony. He said that when he got back after lunch, he called back his church to just say, oh, sorry, the phone got cut off last night. And they were still in service. They had remained in service now for probably about 8 hours. People were still weeping under the power of God, shaking, having visions. This is what happened, you know, after I laid my jacket on this young man. And so I shared the testimony, and praise be to God, I shared the testimony. And there was a guy there yesterday. It was his first time visiting the church, and he's a believer. He has a business, and it was his first time visiting. And the man was sitting there in the church, and he thought to himself. He told me this in the bathroom. We talked to the bathroom afterwards. He told me. He said, "When you said that, I thought to myself, wow, I sure like him to put his jacket on me." That's what he thought. As I was preaching, sharing testimony. So then what happens is I'm going down the line, I'm ministering to maybe about 30 people or 25 people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. So I'm ministering to everyone, and I'm taking my time, I'm being patient, taking my time, praying for everyone to make sure that they step out and release the gift of praying in other tongues. And so I'm ministering to, you know, 30 people or so. And then I just moved by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I heard a word, but when I'm in that kind of flow of the anointing, I move by the Holy Ghost, or the Lord speaks to me and I just obey immediately. And I don't even process whether he spoke to me or I had a vision. I'm just moving quickly under the anointing. It's funny that under the anointing, things seem to speed up. Things go faster. I often sense the anointing. I know when the anointing is flowing there. You are muted. Press all. For some reason, can you guys hear me? It says that I'm muted. I hope you can all hear me. Let me just make sure. Can you hear me? I said there was a sign on the path that said I was muted. So, anyways, I hope you can hear me. If you can't hear me, okay, good. Okay, you can hear me. That was yours. Okay, good. So, anyways, so what happened is. So as I'm ministering, I'm moving by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if it was the Lord spoke to me or the Lord just unctioned me. I'm not quite sure. But I took my jacket and I threw my jacket on this man because he was under the power of God on the floor. And I threw and I said, put my jacket on that guy. I threw my jacket on him. Now, he was out of the power of God, shaking. He didn't know that my jacket was on him. But he said he felt this heavy weight on him. And the weight was so strong that at the end of the service, he was still under the power of God. And the pastor tried to get him up. And he said he couldn't move. It was like the jacket weighed, you know. And this is a fairly sized, maybe 180-pound strong man. He said, but it was like the jacket just was so heavy. And then he didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was. He said he couldn't get up. He said he was trying to pull himself up and he couldn't even get up. And so the pastor had to pull him up, and eventually the glory lifted. It was the glory of God that was resting upon this man. And though, so the interesting thing is he just had the thought, I sure wish he put the jacket on me. And then the Holy Ghost the only person I put my jacket upon was that guy. And I warn people, you know, I said, listen, if I put my jacket on you, if I hit you with my jacket, I know people don't like Benny Hinn hit people with his jacket. I hate people with my jacket. Why? Because why? Why? It's because the anointing that's resting upon me and the anointing that's flowing through me, the fabric of your clothing catches that anointing. It gets saturated in that anointing. If you remember in the New Testament, the apostles took cloths and rags and they laid hands and they prayed over them. And those cloths were then given to people who were infirmed or possessed with devils. And the people were healed and devils came out of them. So John G. Lake actually has some teachings on how cloth and fabric are conductors of the anointing. Just like metal can conduct electricity, in the study of John G. Lake, which you can believe it or not, you know, whatever, but the study of John G. Lake, the certain objects cannot or do not conduct the anointing. So, for example, maybe, you know, steel or these type of things don't hold the current of the anointing. They might hold electrical current. But in the spirit realm, the anointing, the current of the anointing is held by cloth and materials and fabrics. And he has all kinds of scriptures throughout the Bible. Even Elijah's mantle that came upon Elisha. And he took that mantle, that cloth, and he slapped the water with that cloth. And the water split into two. And then we see, of course, in the New Testament, how he took the cloths and prayed over them and miracles happened. So, you know, that's why because I understand the operation and I understand that the anointing is tangible. I use my jacket when I'm led by the Holy Ghost to hit somebody with it, to put that over somebody. And when I do, the anointing and the power of God falls upon them. I remember when I was at the Journey Church, I was doing a demonstration about being covered with Christ, and I asked the pastor for his prayer shawl. I don't use a prayer shawl, except to have one as just an artifact of the Jewish culture. That's, you know, a souvenir. That's all. But at that time, I wanted to use the prayer shawl just as an example of how we're covered by Christ. And then I took that prayer shawl, and I took that prayer shawl and I covered people with it. And as I would cover them with it, and when it hit them, boom, the power of God would come on them and they'd fall right out. And people got upset by that. Some people would comment on Facebook or whatever. Don't get upset with me. You're upset with the wrong person. You need to be upset with God. Why is he healing them? Why is he setting them free? Why is he touching them? Don't be upset with me. I'm just the donkey. Just the vessel, amen. So anyways, we had a wonderful service yesterday, and we're praying that our time today with you, sharing the word of God, will also be a blessed time as well. So we're going to get in today on what to do in the time of crisis, and we're going to be looking from Genesis chapter 12 again, and we'll be going into Genesis chapter 15, and then we'll be going into the New Testament. So let's all pray together, and we have some good word to get into today, in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands up if you're watching in the replay or even live. We just pray, Father, I pray that your anointing would clothe, would also endue, would clothe every person watching this ministry today or in the days to come, later today or in the days to come. Father God, I pray your anointing of the Holy Ghost would come upon, would clothe, would surround your people, and that you would protect them and deliver them, Father God. I thank you for no coronavirus. I thank you for no flu. I thank you for no cold. I pray in Jesus' name for anybody suffering from back pains right now. The Holy Ghost has said there's somebody suffering from back pains. If that's you, I just want you to just, if you can't place your hand on your back like this, just place your hand on your back. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that back pain. And I command that back to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you for your healing anointing to touch those muscles, to touch those nerves, to touch the spine, the ligaments, the lumbar. Be loose from your pain and be loose from your infirmity. Holy Ghost, do the work of a chiropractor. Do what a chiropractor can't do. Do what a neurologist can't do in Jesus' name. And loose those backs and be healed in the name of Jesus. Any other condition that somebody's suffering from right now, I pray the healing anointing come upon you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I declare the fire of God make you whole in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that through the stripes of Jesus, healing has been provided for mankind. And we release that healing grace now. Blow upon your children and bring restoration. Every migraine headache, be broken. Every migraine centered in the back of the head, be broken in the name of Jesus. We release the healing power of God. Father, we ask you to anoint this time in the word. Anoint me in these lips of clay to speak forth your word with excellency, with clarity, and with boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we are glad to be here with you today. I bless God. I thank you for tuning in. And I also want to invite you to share the broadcast. You can go online. You could share it or even have a watch party. It's better if you do a watch party, because if you do a watch party, it will alert a lot of people and that will invite them in. So I encourage you to have a watch party.
In Jesus' name.
And let's take a look here at, sorry about that. Let's have a watch party. Let's take a look here at our first verse. Our first verse will be in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And let me just pull that up here, too, on my desktop, and I can read with you Genesis chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. What to do in the time of crisis. And I'll pull it up here, and let's do KJV, the King James Version, which is my favorite one. And it says in verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. We spoke before, I'm not sure if it was, I think it was the first episode that we did recently, and we spoke about how it says here, I will show thee. And I was sharing with our viewers and our friends and partners, I was sharing with you that God reveals things by his Spirit. He shows you things by his Spirit. And when God reveals something to you by your Spirit, he's revealing a portion of your inheritance, because you have an inheritance. You have things already provided by God. And he's sharing with you a portion of your inheritance that's available. It's like maybe low-hanging fruit. It's in the spirit realm. I had the Lord show me. I shared the testimony before. Someone would give me $100,000. I prayed it through for a year. And I should have took a year. I should have prayed more. But I got it. After a year, somebody sold $100,000. Just recently, I had another dream that a family member, and I don't know if it's spiritual family, I don't know if it's the association of my fellowship, or if it's a relative or a family member from my home church of Living Word, I'm not sure exactly the interpretation of it, but it was a distant family member. It wasn't immediate. It was a distant family member in the dream, and they had sold $23,495. And I've been speaking about that since I had the dream, because that dream was a revelation to me that this, it was low-hanging fruit. It was something that is in my inheritance. A financial amount is my inheritance that God has released from the spirit realm, and now it's in the realm that I could access it in my dream realm. And so now I take that and I begin to pray it out, and I begin to move by that direction. And this is how Abraham operated. the Lord would show him things, and then he would move in that direction. So God, here in verse 12, appears to him and says, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Now, it's interesting that in the case of Abraham, I can conject here that maybe God was not going to show Abraham his inheritance, his portion, until he was willing and taking this, not only willing, but even taking the step of faith and getting out to that land. Just recently, me and my family, we've come back to America. Pastor Rodney suggested by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to come to Tulsa. And so I said, I need to get to the land. I need to go there. And if I go there in obedience to the prophet, because the Bible says, obey his prophets, so shall you prosper, the Lord might speak to me when I get there. So we drove to Tulsa. It was like 12 hours, something like that. We drove 12 hours to Tulsa just so I can get there where God has told me to go. And there, God would speak to me. So sometimes you have to just get moving, go forward, and come to that place then when you arrive that now you are where God's told you to go, and now he will show thee, he'll reveal to you a portion of your inheritance that is available. And now the reason why we're dealing with this particular subject and with this particular issue is because what to do in the time of crisis. I was just talking today to a pastor, a friend of mine that is helping us on staff in Philippines. And he said that President Duterte tonight is going to declare whether or not they will go back into this ECQ, Enhanced Quarantine Community. So he's going to check and he's going to announce tonight whether they should. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's my pastor now, and he's in one of Trump's advisors. He's on the advisory board with Donald Trump, and he has often, I don't know if it's weekly or whatever, but he often has calls in Washington that he's invited to come in and consult in and sit and listen to. And he came out of an intelligence briefing with some people, and he announced that they are saying, projecting, that over 100 million people will die of starvation. Anywhere between 100 and 120 million people will die of starvation as a result of quarantine around the world. And so we have countries like the Philippines that they've been in quarantine since, like, I think February, March, April, May. We're into June. If they go back into ECQ, it'll be in the 6 months. And people, the jeepneys are closed down. So all those jeepney drivers that were living off of their weekly salary, they haven't had an income in 5 to 6 months. So, you know, the fear of corona is much, much worse. Much, much worse than the actual virus itself. So Pastor Rodney always says that the virus is the media. The media is the virus, not the corona. The media is the virus, because the media is bringing more sickness, more disease, more poverty, is bringing more loneliness, is bringing more suicide, you know, all of these things, and it's bringing more death. I have a statistic that I posted on Facebook about a week ago, and it was a statistic of how many people have died of the coronavirus. And this particular statistic, if I could, I'm going to see if I can find it. Let me just pull that up real quick. It's much less, much, much less than our dying of starvation from not having food because of the quarantines globally. That is the impact and the effect. Also, I can't say too much. And I do want to say that the coronavirus is a real thing. I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm saying what is much worse is the spirit of fear that is behind it. And, you know, and I know that it's real. Matter of fact, the president of Burundi had just died. I'm not sure if it was just 1 or 2 days ago or something. But the president of Burundi had just died. And it was claimed to be that he died of a heart attack. But actually, a friend of mine is his friend. And a friend of mine, who's the president's friend, he's a friend of Burundi, he's a minister, I can't say too much, but a minister friend of mine that I spoke with yesterday, face to face, he got a call from you know, I can't say who, he got a call, and they found, he was told from the inside that the president of Burundi had actually really died of COVID virus, and they're claiming that he died of a heart attack. This was 6 days ago, at 55 years old. And now this man, my friend, who is friends with the president of Burundi, the former president now, President Pierre Nkurunziza. Pierre Nkurunziza died at 55 years old in Burundi of the coronavirus, but it's only being told in the media and in the news that it was a heart attack, but it's actually corona. And his wife has been extracted, and his wife is in quarantine, and his wife is being taken care of and watched closely in another country. I think they said in France. I think he said she's in France right now. So anyways, her name is Denise. First Lady Denise Nkurunziza is now, I believe she was extracted to France, and they're watching her to make sure. To Kenya. I'm sorry, Kenya. Denise, I believe, is in Kenya, in Nairobi. She's being watched over and taken care of, and watched also to make sure that she is taken care of and does not have the coronavirus. So she was extracted from Burundi, and she's brought to Nairobi in Kenya, where they're watching her, and they're taking care of her for coronavirus treatment. This is the truth. Even though New York Times and all the news say it was a heart attack, I'm telling you the truth. And that's why our broadcast here at Living Proof is sometimes a great news source for the body of Christ. You come on here, you listen to me, you're going to hear things that you'll never find out, you'll never know in the news. But you find it right here on Living Proof as we talk to our friends who are intelligence sources and government leaders around the world. Praise God. So anyways, I'm not denying I see the effects of coronavirus, but statistically, how many people are actually dying from the coronavirus compared to dying from the ECQ are uncomparable. And I really wish I could find that exact number. Oh, here it is. I found it. This is from the inside source in Washington, D.C., that there will be 100 million to 120 million people who will die of starvation by the end of this year. 100 million to 120 million. Will die of starvation at the end of this year. This is why I'm preaching and talking to you. I'm not actually even preaching this to Americans, this particular sermon, because right now Americans could go to food banks and could go to church, well, at least some churches, because most churches have closed, you know, so maybe you can't, but at least the river is open and they're giving away food every single night. We even got a bag of food from the river. You know, we brought it to our hotel room so my wife could cook some food up, you know, save money on restaurants and stuff, because we're traveling, and so we're living in restaurants and hotels every day. But for the last month or so. But 120 million, that's just, you know, nine more times that would be a billion. 100 million to 120 million will die of starvation by the end of this year without this message that I'm preaching to you on what to do in the times of crisis. So listen closely. But the coronavirus alone has only killed 400,000 people have died from coronavirus. Not even a million, not even half a million people, not even half of 1 million have died from coronavirus, but 100 and 100 million, conservatively, 100 million will die of starvation due to the quarantines and the lockdowns by the end of this year. And if Bill Gates has his way, he wants to vaccinate everybody, which I believe God will not allow that to happen, because we, the intercessors, the prophets have spoken, the intercessors are praying, and we have some righteous people in authority that will not allow that to happen, thank God. And we have to pray for them. But if the liberals had their way, we'd all be vaccinated. But by the vaccinations, Bill Gates is estimating 17 million will die from the vaccinations. So 400,000 people have died from coronavirus, but 17 million will die if we do the vaccinations. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The goal is depopulation. If you don't believe the goal is depopulation, let me just pull it up for you real quick. There is a multi-million dollar project that was put on by the elites, and they had taken their money and they invested in this project. And this project was to build a monument to the vision of this particular group of global elites. And so they put in millions of dollars to do this, very difficult project. The people who actually were hired to work on the project said they could not believe how much money was being poured into this, obscure thing. And they built this thing. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. And let me just show it to you real quickly. I'm going to just share that with you here quickly. Here's the Georgia Guidestones. So if you see here, let me make that bigger for you. This is in Georgia, and actually, I'll probably go see it in 2 days. I'll be back in Georgia. I'll be ministering, I believe, at World Harvest Church Wednesday night, Pastor Merrick Houghton. And so take a look here. Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones are a granite monument erected in 1980 in Georgia. There are 10 guidelines. Is described in the structure in 8 modern languages. So they put it in 8 modern languages and 4 ancient languages, such as Sanskrit and so on. Let's take a look at the 10 inscriptions quickly. Let's take a look at the 10 inscriptions. And here's a picture. If you let me just click that picture. Here's a picture of the Guidestones, okay? And they built this beautiful, demonic, type of, outdoor temple to the Guidestones. This is what the elites did. And they have it in English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and in Russian, as well as several ancient languages, Sanskrit, and so on. And look at their very first goal. Number one, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Now, really, that's all the point I need to make, just to prove to you that they have a very written in stone, etched plan to depopulate the earth so there can be an elite. And I believe me, it's a white elite, and I'm not racist, and I don't believe in the big hoaxed up racist narrative and so forth. But these elitists, they are white. They are white. And they want the population of the world to be only 500 million. They want every other race to be exterminated. They want almost every country to be exterminated. And they want to. They believe that to share the earth's wealths in the luxury that they desire, that the earth has to be under half of a billion people, 500 million people. Their second goal is to guide reproduction wisely. This is...
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way. Like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, when I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that could help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.